pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call number tonight and every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And today I'm joined by that great American, Big Al. Good evening, Al. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Vito. Good to be here, as always.
It is great to be here. It's somewhat of a somber Monday. I know it's Columbus Day, so happy Columbus Day to everyone out there, especially to all my paisans. It is not Indigenous
or
People's
Indigenous
Day.
Indigenous People's Day. Well, Whatever the hell that is.
That's exactly right. Whatever the hell that is, that is a multicultural myth. That is the Marxist way of slighting the Italians for the discovery of America, including Verrazano, including Columbus, and who else? Who else is out there? Magellan, Vasco da Gama. Do you hear me?
The Nina, the Pinta.
Santa Maria. it's the way the Marxists under this progressive mentality have decided that they were going to fundamentally change America and rewrite history. It is Columbus Day, and we laud Christopher Columbus for the helping to find the United States of America, including, Verrazano, Americas, and, America. It's insane what we're having to go through today. So it is to hell with the Indigenous Peoples Day. It is Columbus Day. One freaking day out of the year for a man who helped discover the United States of America, and it has to be changed by the multiculturalists because they're offended, for rewriting history.
Well, good. Let him remain offended.
Agreed. Absolutely agree with that. Let him remain offended. We always start off the show with some PGA news and, the events, but I don't find it fitting to do so today. And, I'll just say this. Congratulations to Luke List for winning the five-way playoff yesterday. Got his second PGA Tour victory. I feel bad for Ben Griffin, who had the tournament in hand and bogeyed two of the last three holes to force a five-man playoff. But after what we have been witnessing since Saturday, I don't feel like talking about anything else but Israel and the attack on Israel. And I know Israel is near and dear to your heart. You've been there several times, and you have acquaintances that are in the IDF, and you've had the honor and privilege to be in places that we would probably never go, and firsthand what Israel has been going through since 1949, I guess you can say. Not that you're that old, but I also want to talk about some things today that are not being spoken in the media while it's being covered, while the issue, the war in Israel is being covered. There are components of it that are not being spoken about. And that would be reliance of the traveler, the Quran, and specifically the OIC, the Organization of Islamic Cowards. I'm sorry, the Organization of Islamic Conference, which is made up of the 56 Islamic states and the Palestinian territory, which is considered part of the 57 Islamic states. I also want to talk about UN Resolution 1618, which is a fraud and continues to prove to be a fraud. And I was just wondering, first of all, let's start with, I want to get your take on what's occurred over the last 4 days in Israel since Saturday.
Well, I can tell you this before we get deep into it, because we'll spend a little time and dig deeper than most, because we can. But we have 9, maybe more, U.S. citizens that were murdered in Israel while our president was having a White House barbecue. And his lackluster interest in this conflict, this war, is very troubling. Yeah, he's sending over a ceremonial aircraft carrier into the region, but that is really about it. And it's very unsettling. Very unsettling, because I believe the $6 billion and the millions of dollars that he unlocked, that President Trump had taken away from the Palestinians and the Iranians. The Palestinians were unusually quiet during President Trump's presidency because they had no money. They were getting isolated by their Arab brothers, and the money spigot stopped. But now all of a sudden, since our president turned them on, the violence has escalated into areas that this is unprecedented level, as all the media is saying. But, yeah, this war is very, very dangerous and could expand into the Middle East. And we didn't have to be here, but here we are. And we'll discuss why as the show goes on.
Well, first of all, 2 weeks ago on September the 18th show, we reported that the United States and Iran had exchanged 5 prisoners each. The United States returned 5 Iranians that were captive and held by the United States, and Iran exchanged 5 American prisoners. But in addition to that, the United States, at the behest of the Biden-Harris regime, included $6.5 billion, releasing $6.5 billion in Iranian assets. And, you know, I would say naively, but there's nothing naive about the Biden regime. And one must understand that in the Biden regime, it is made up of Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama alumni. And the importance of that is the Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama alumni despise Israel. They hate the Jews. They hate Israel. They stand for everything against Israel. Joe Biden is not smart enough, and Joe Biden is not competent enough to deal with the situation. And as Al just said, he was having a barbecue Saturday. Now, listen, nothing should stop because of the Palestinians' terrorism, Hamas's terrorism. But Joe Biden is incompetent. And today is a perfect example of that. The White House calls off all press briefings. And what was the excuse for calling off the press briefings? It's a holiday. Really? Oh, okay. So we just witnessed one of the most horrific terrorist attacks on Israel since, what, 1968? And the president of the United States, who is incompetent, can't address it because it's a holiday. Joe Biden is incapable of addressing the nation. He doesn't have the mental capacity to do so. He's better off being in the basement eating tapioca pudding and eating his ice cream. And that's a sad state of affairs. Why? Because it sends a message of weakness. And it has sent a message of weakness since the withdrawal, or I should say the fleeing from Afghanistan, the debacle that was turned over by the Biden-Harris regime. So no White House press briefings today, including Biden being placed in quarantine because he's incapable of addressing the nation, let alone the media. Because if they were to pepper him with any type of questions and somebody could ask a tough question, they're not sure that the teleprompter would have addressed that particular answer. So it's a holiday today. That's a perfect excuse. So much for transparency. You see, if the United States had a true president, a true leader, as you had mentioned with let's say, Donald J. Trump, who kept the Palestinian Authority and the terrorist organization of Hamas at bay, they knew where they stood. And unfortunately for the United States of America, as we project weakness, now you have other nefarious countries taking over, such as communist China, such as Russia, Saudi Arabia is emboldened, and of course now Islamic jihadists are emboldened. So in 2023, we continue to see the propping up of Joe Biden as a planned installation and intentional removal of Donald J. Trump as president of the United States. End of story. So you can't tell me any more about how Joe Biden arrived in the White House. His efforts to withdraw America from Afghanistan in 2021 was an abysmal failure. And you know, I found an email, and it was an email thread between you, me, and Holger. And I'm going to say this, you know, Holger put it in proper perspective with regards to what had occurred in Afghanistan. And I'm looking forward to have it here somewhere. Hold on a second. And I want to read the first part of it because it is so apropos and it so defines. Now, two years later, it defines foreign policy. It defines exactly the blunder, okay, and the ineptness of Joe Biden. Now, we all know that the Biden regime is made up of the anti-Semitic and Israel-hating alumni of Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama. But here is the commentary from Holger in assessing, okay, what had occurred in Afghanistan. Of course, I just, where the hell is it? Here it is. Media to the rescue? Nope. Excuse me a second. A little technical difficulty here. To paraphrase him, he basically said he's been following the Afghanistan issue. And he's been following it very closely. And the media will somehow excuse Joe Biden from this abysmal failure. They will cover up what had occurred. And he was spot on. He was spot on. You know, they cover up with Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, and Hillary Rodham Clinton with regards to Benghazi, and four Americans dead, including Christopher Stevens, the ambassador to Libya, ambassador of the United States, the first one killed since like 1969 while in office. The media to the rescue. And now you've got Pat Smith's son, Sean Smith, was killed in Benghazi, and then two Navy SEALs, Tyrone Woods, and my mind just absolutely went blank. So two Navy SEALs killed, and the media covered it up. And now the media is to the rescue again, and they basically have whitewashed any failure. $81 billion in U.S. military equipment was left behind to the Taliban terrorists. And there's reports that some of that weaponry was sent to the terrorist organization Hamas, which they used in their attack on Israel. Millions of dollars of cash, U.S. currency, was left in Afghanistan. And, of course, the media, once again, covers up because why? Why? Because it wasn't Donald J. Trump. It was their friend, a Democrat. It was the incompetent Joe Biden. So what we're seeing today in the United States of America is a weak foreign policy. And this projection of weakness now has emboldened the enemy. It has emboldened the enemy to attack our allies. And attack they did. We're seeing horrific videos of what happened at the Supernova concert. Over 50 Islamic jihadists jump out of cars and they start shooting people. They start shooting Israelis randomly. And where's the outrage? Where's the outrage by the United Nations? Where's the outrage by the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, the OIC, made up of 57 Islamic states? Huh? There is no outrage. Why? Because it was a fellow Islamic nation who killed Jews. But no one's talking about that. No one's talking about the useless nations, are they? Or the Organization of Islamic Cooperation saying absolutely nothing about Islamic terrorism and terrorizing the Jews.
Well, I mean, that concert, for one, that was a peace concert by anti-Netanyahu Israelis. They were, and this concert took place right on the Gaza border as an affront to Bibi Netanyahu and his government. These were their friends. These are their allies. These were Marxist Israelis literally having a concert for peace and promoting the Hamas government. But nobody's talking about that. And they killed 200, Vito. They gunned down 200 unarmed people, tortured, raped, kidnapped, with a total of 200 dead. And you're right, nothing but silence. In fact, there's videos of them. They went into homes and they kidnapped whole families, including elderly and babies. And they put, there's video of them laughing and joking as they had 6 to 8 babies in what looks like an animal cage. And the babies are in there all by themselves, and they're making fun of them, babies. And then they have a senile, they have video of a senile elderly woman in their car, and they're laughing and whatever, the Hamas terrorists, and the senile, poor senile woman is laughing along with them because she has no clue what kind of danger she's in, and they think it's the funniest thing. And these followers of Islam, these Hamas fighters, are documenting this for all to see. And you're right, there's nothing but silence from the UN, which is, I didn't even think about that because I'm hearing it so much on the news, but yeah, they are silent. Israel sneezed the wrong way, sneezes the wrong way, and then they bring Israel up on charges, but with this, nothing.
Yeah, and thanks to Sue from New Mexico, she posted the Bare Naked Islam article, "Must See Hamas Savages Are Putting Kidnapped Israeli Children and Toddlers into Cages and Laughing About It." And there's pictures of this. So I don't see AOC demanding to go to the Hamas location and then be filmed, you know, getting on her knee in theatrical and dramatical fashion. And crying for these children, for the Hamas animals, for doing this to children. Okay, you know, we hear about For the Children by the United Nations, UNICEF, For the Children. We hear about it, For the Children, by the left wing, and now we have the children being abused and used by Islamic terrorists, and somehow everybody goes deaf, dumb, and silent on the left, including Alexandria Cortez. No theatrics, no cameras. She's not posing for the camera in false fashion. You know, this just goes to show the hypocrisy of the left and what we're seeing, and the abuse of children by Islamic terrorists. It should never be tolerated. But I just find it reprehensible once again that the left, the hypocrisy they're showing on this whole thing is just, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. not speaking out, is he? He's out. There is no press conference by Biden. There's no press conference by the propaganda princess Jean-Pierre. Everybody's silent because, hey, it's a federal holiday. Wow.
Yeah. And the citizen of the United States, this concerns you as well, because yesterday and the day before, Palestinian supporters were having rallies in New York, Tampa, Miami, and other large cities across the country. And these rallies had thousands of people at them, thousands of Hamas supporters. These are the people, same people that are supporting, putting babies in the cages, going in and targeting people, citizens, non-combatants. And they're doing it in Israel. They will do it here. It's not if, it's just a matter of when they unleash their hate, because the hatred, what we're seeing in Israel, is it has nothing to do with Israel being a colonizer, an occupier, or having their Jewish iron foot on their necks since 1948 and stealing their land. It has nothing to do with that. And we'll go into why and what for that. But this is all based on Islamic doctrine and theology. These Hamas fighters, these Palestinian Islamic Jihad fighters, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, they're all there. They are all there in Gaza fighting the Israelis at this time. And they go no further than the Quran to give them their marching orders. They go, there's two verses, verse 190. 190 says, fight in the way of Allah against those who fight against you. 2:191 says, kill them whenever you confront them and drive them out from where they drove you out. Drive them out from where they drove you out. And they believe that when Israel came into existence in 1948, they drove out the Muslims that were there. But the truth of the matter, Vito, is that prior to World War I, the Ottoman Empire controlled that whole area. After World War I, when the Ottoman Empire fell, the British Mandate came in, and they took over that entire area. The British are the folks who split that whole area up with these made-up borders, and they did, and they gave Israel a state in there, very small, but the UN gave them a state legally. Well, the day after that happened in 1948, all of the Arab neighbors went to arms. They declared war on Israel, this brand new nation, and tried to drive it into the sea, and they failed. Embarrassingly, they failed. They tried again in 1967. But keep in mind, too, the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall, where all the Jews go to pray, there were Jordanian snipers up there shooting Jews at will from 1948 to 1967 because the Jordanians controlled that part of Jerusalem. In fact, they controlled all of Jerusalem from 48 to 67. After the 67 war, Israel gained control of Jerusalem. They gained control of the Sinai Peninsula and the Golan Heights. Yes, they won all that land. They did it all within 6 days. And then in 1973, which is 50 years ago, they had another war, the Yom Kippur War, which Israel almost lost. But they succeeded and won, and they also took the West Bank and Gaza control of that. So when the Quran, which all Muslims believe is the actual word of God, straight from God through the angel Gabriel into Muhammad's ears, this cannot be changed, altered, or improved upon. And when God says to his Islamic followers, kill them whenever you confront them and drive them out, then you do it. And that's what's happening and why. And it will happen here. It'll happen in countries all over the world.
Well, Al, you know, it's funny that you bring that up, because it's exactly what, I tell you what, we are so on the same page. It's unbelievable. The OIC, the UN, the Biden regime, the global body are all frauds. There has never been one mention of Hamas being required to change their charter. Now, you brought up Quranic verses, and I'm so glad you did, because there is something called Reliance of the Traveler, Umdat Salik. It is Islamic law as codified by Islamic clerics, Islamic scholars. It is Islamic law. Page 599 of Umdat Salik. Page 599 of Umdat Salik defines jihad. This is not something that we are making up. It is not something that we are defining. But I'm going to read directly from page 599, Umdat Salik, which is Islamic law, as codified by Islamic clerics. Jihad. Jihad means to war against non-Muslims. Now, I'm not going to expand on it. Why? Because that is the definition. Let's keep it simple, folks, okay? Because this is not what Islam is. This is not what Islamic clerics, this is not what Muslim Brotherhood front groups want you to understand. It's really simple. Page 599 of the Sharia, Umdat Salik, known as Reliance of the Traveler in English, defines jihad to mean war against non-Muslims. There's nothing in here about inner struggle. There's nothing about struggle. Jihad means to war against non-Muslims. It is etymologically derived from the word mujahada, signifying warfare to establish the religion. It's not our words. It's not Global Patriot Radio's words. It is Islam's words. Understand the onset of this. There is no denying that jihad means to war against non-Muslims. It is written. It is also codified by three Islamic verses. Verse 2:216. Chapter 2, verse 2:16. Fighting is prescribed for you. Now, you have to understand the interesting part of this, because if you were to bring up the term jihad means to war against non-Muslims, and the Quran codifies this definition, Islamic clerics will look at you, the infidel, and say, you're taking that out of context, that verse. Really? If I'm taking it out of context, then doesn't that mean that your Islamic clerics took that out of context? No, because then they use verse 489, slay them wherever you find them. How about the third verse that's used, the Quranic verse that's used to codify jihad, meaning to war against non-Muslims? Fight the idolaters utterly. It's really simple to understand the objective of Islam. It is domination. It is fear. It is superiority. Islam despises the Jew. They despise Israel. It's okay for the terrorist group Hamas to aggressively attack, unprovokedly, by the way, unprovokedly attack Israel. But it's not okay for Israel to defend herself. And when Israel defends herself, suddenly all the roaches come out of the woodwork. And they all start lamenting how mean and evil Israel is. Really. So the Israelis would just rather live in peace without being attacked. And they will contribute to the world society, technology, medications and medicine. And get this, the Israelis also treat the injured and the sick Palestinian who needs medical attention and can't get that medical attention in Palestine because Hamas is too busy spending money on buying weapons and building tunnels to intrude into Israel to kill Israelis. And yet, the Israeli physician, the Israeli medical practitioners will treat and save the lives of Palestinians who are sick and deathly ill. And what is the thanks? To kill the Israeli. What is the thanks? for Israel having feelings for human beings is to be attacked unprovokedly by the Islamic jihadists. So it's really simple. Umdat Salik defines jihad. Jihad means to war against non-Muslims. It's etymologically derived from the word mujahada. You've heard of mujahideen. And you have three Quranic verses which the Islamic cleric has cherry-picked, right? Chapter 2, verse 216, chapter 4, verse 89, chapter 9, verse 36. What the world just witnessed by the Hamas Islamic Jihad animals was Islamic jihadists slaying them wherever they found the Jews. Over 50 Islamic Jihad gunmen swarmed the Supernova concert in Israel. And like the Islamic jihadists did in Paris, France in November of 2015, at the Badashan Theater, killing 90 concert goers and wounding over 200 as the Islamic jihadists stood in the balcony shooting the concert goers. They did the same thing, except this time they killed almost 300 peaceful and innocent Jews at the Supernova concert. Slay them wherever you find them. Chapter 4, verse 89. That's what Islamic clerics use to define jihad, and they did. And we're supposed to support these animals of Hamas, a designated terrorist organization? If reliance of the traveler is not enough, how about the Hadith? The day of judgment will not come about until Muslims fight the Jews, when the Jew will hide behind stones and trees. The stones and trees will say, "Oh Muslims, oh Abdullah, there's a Jew behind me. Come and kill him." Only darkened trees, which are box thorn trees, would not do that because it's one of the trees of the Jews. Judgment Day will not come until Muslims fight the Jews. This is the mindset of the 57 Islamic states. We hope the words of Prophet Muhammad will be fulfilled. Judgment Day will not come before Muslims fight the Jews, and the Jews will hide behind rocks and trees. But the rocks and the trees will say, "Oh Muslim, oh servant of Allah, there's a Jew behind me. Come and kill him." Except for the darkened tree, which is one of the trees of the Jews. Chapter 4, verse 144. Are you believed? Do not take the disbelievers as allies instead of the believers. Do you wish to give Allah against yourself a clear case? Chapter 5, verse 51. Are you who have believed? Do not take the Jews and the Christians as allies. They are in fact allies of one another. And whoever is an ally of them among you, then indeed, he is one of them. Indeed, Allah guides not the wrongdoing people. It's one Quranic verse after another. And we're supposed to be surprised by the Islamic attacks. You know, we started this radio network 15 years ago. We're talking about the very same thing. And Islamist organizations such as the Muslim Brotherhood-based organizations that are in the United States of America, such as CARE, the Council on American-Islamic Rights Relations, such as ISNA, the Islamic Society of North America, the Muslim Student Association, IIIT, the International Institute of Islamic Thought, they don't want you and me, the infidel, to really know Islam. They want you to know Islam as they, Dawah, they tell you. They don't want you to read the Quran. They want you to read their version of the Quran. Because you'll find that it is violent. You'll find that it sends messages to their followers, such as chapter 4, verse 71. Are you a believer? Take your precautions. So go to war in separate groups or go to war altogether. What did we see last Saturday evening? Going to war in separate groups. 50 Islamic jihadists armed with automatic weapons intrude the Supernova concert and kill almost 300 people. 300 innocent people. 11 Americans are dead. Chapter 4, verse 84. So engage in war for the sake of Allah. Lay not burdens on any but yourself and provoke the believers. provoke the believers. Al brought it up at the very beginning of the show. 2 weeks ago, we reported the Biden-Harris regime, the anti-Israel Biden-Harris regime, released $6.5 billion of cash to Iran under the guise of humanitarian aid. That's some humanitarian aid to finance a designated terrorist group by the U.S. State Department, by the United States of America, Hamas. Hamas is a designated terrorist organization. It is being supported and funded by Iran, the theocratic terrorist nation of Iran. You have the Biden regime, who are alumni of the Obama regime, who literally have turned a blind eye, or in this case, blind eyes, to Iran, including the nuclear capabilities, including selling of oil, including the Biden regime taking America off of energy independence and buying oil from Iran, violating the Iran agreement. You've got the communist Chinese government buying 1 million barrels a day of oil from Iran. Conversely, you had President Trump sending Iran and Russia reeling and cutting off the spigots and making America energy independent. Cutting off the spigots so they aren't funding terrorism. Iran funding Hezbollah, Iran funding Hamas, Iran funding the tri-border region in South America. At what point do you hold the treasonous Biden-Harris regime accountable and the US DNC media for covering up the incompetence and the clear sedition of the Biden-Harris regime? Well, Vito, you can't say sedition. You can't say treason. Really? We have Islamic terrorists coming over our southern border. And now you've got Islamic terrorists who penetrated Israel's borders, and you have this regime, the Biden-Harris regime, financially supporting the very entities that want to kill us, that want to kill the infidel. At what point does the U.S. media finally sever their ties with the Democrat National Committee and start reporting about the treasonous activities of the Biden-Harris regime? A failed foreign policy, a feckless leader. There's only one reason why Joe Biden was installed as president of the United States, and we are witnessing it firsthand. We witnessed it back in 2021. Holger, I have paid close attention to the entire Afghanistan evacuation scenario, and I am convinced that Joe Biden will skate from the crisis with very little damage. This isn't surprising, as we've seen Bill Clinton do it, we've seen Barack Obama do it, Hillary Clinton do it, Nancy Pelosi do it, and now Biden. Couple the media shield that Biden is afforded, along with the majority of the government party that will insulate him, and we find ourselves asking the same old question, how do we stop these people? That was in 2021. So I'll bring Holzer on right now because he happens to be on the switchboard. Holzer, good evening. 2021, September, you wrote that. Good evening, our friend. I found that email absolutely perfect in defining how the media continues to shield Joe Biden and afforded him the majority of the government party that insulates him. That was absolutely an excellent prognostication.
Yeah. Well, you know, the media's got a lot of covering up to do, because you remember, for how many years did the media always proclaim that Joe Biden was the foreign policy guru of this country? You know, Barack Obama chose him as VP because he was so adept at foreign policy, and he's a numbskull.
No, excuse me. He is a former. Matter of fact, I wrote some notes about that, and I just want to just correct you for a second on that. Okay, so Joe Biden is a foreign policy guru. Okay, because Joe Biden, with his foreign policy, is how the Biden and his crime family have shaken down foreign nations, and he's been able to peddle influence while he was a sitting vice president. And who knows what influence he was peddling as a U.S. senator. So right out of the box, you know, he was put into the foreign policy, and it was a cut and run out of Afghanistan. So I just want to say that he's a self-serving, incompetent little man, but he's been able to parlay, okay, his so-called international foreign policy genius into financial rewards of influence peddling and racketeering. Go ahead.
Yeah. See, I didn't know about that stuff before. But you know, the reason I called in, I just want to connect something here on these Israeli attacks. I mean, obviously, this is, you know, my passion for Israel is second to none, and it's just been a horrific couple of days. But you know, over on Twitter, or X as they call it now, I've been making this claim that this was actually an Iranian operation, and I just wanted just to go through just a little bit of why I'm saying that, because it's important, because you know, not only us as Americans, but Israelis and so forth, you know, are dependent upon their leaders to figure this shit out, okay? You know, we're out here trying to make a living and put some bread on the table, okay? We don't have time to figure out the world and the evils and the enemies of this country and so forth. That's why, you know, schmucks like Biden get elected and our Secretary of Defense gets put in place and all that kind of good stuff. But you know, let me just throw this out. Back in the Iraq War, when we were in the Iraq War, everybody in America got introduced to something called an IED, okay, improvised explosive device. Those are the things that they put in the road, on the side of the road, that would take out our Humvees, and, you know, very deadly, and very effective against our troops. And all of a sudden, we found that we were losing many, many more soldiers and Marines to these attacks. And they finally figured out that they were using a different type of IED. And this was particularly true in the Shiite section of Iraq, Sadr City. And digging into it further, they discovered that these were now, that what they were using was what they called an EFP, an explosively formed penetrator. So it's basically the same thing as an IED, except designed differently, takes a lot longer and more meticulous to assemble, but 100 times more effective. So all of a sudden we go through two Humvees getting hit and losing one or two soldiers to losing 10, 12, 15 soldiers at a time. They discovered that the technology for the EFP was brought to Iraq by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. Okay? And specifically, one man was put in charge to go to Iraq, develop this program for EFPs, and kill 20, 50 times as many American soldiers as before. One man was sent to Iraq to do that. His name was Major General Qasem Soleimani, which explains why Donald Trump took the motherfucker's ass out 15 years later.
Yep.
So with that said, when you look at this Hamas operation, this attack by Hamas, everybody is saying, you know, how could the intelligence be so faulty? You know, how could the Mossad miss this? How could Shin Bet miss this? How could the CIA miss this? How come we didn't? Nobody knew anything about this attack and stuff. Well, I'm saying the reason nobody could figure out is because the Iranians were in charge of it. And bottom line is, they disguised this attack so well. You know, everybody says, well, how can these, you know, dipshits from Hamas have been able to pull this off? That's my point. They didn't plan it. They didn't strategize it. The Iranians did this. I've even made the claim on Twitter that there are Revolutionary Guard forces in Gaza. And let me just list the reasons. Okay, the disguise of the attack. The Israelis were letting people from Gaza come into Israel to work. The Israelis foolishly decided that the Gazans, the Palestinians, were excited about having an opportunity to make money. You know, that they were turning into, you know, red, white, and blue capitalists. This was all a ploy to put the Israelis to sleep. And at the same time, I read where the Palestinian Authority was actually making fun of Hamas months ago because Hamas had gone so soft on the Israelis that they'd given up the fight. This was all a ploy. They didn't send any rockets. They didn't plan any attacks. They just sat back. It lured the Israelis into thinking that they were finally coming into line and so forth. So when you look at the attack, for the first time ever, Hamas used paragliders to fly into Israeli territory. That's never happened before. They've never used that before. Does that point to Iran? New technique, new strategy, new technology? Look at the number of combatants. Look at the number of Hamas that actually entered Israel. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. Before this attack, I mean, they might get a boat full of guys that came in from the sea, you know, maybe six of them. This time they got like 600 people, 600 fighters into Israel. They blew up the fences to get into Israel. They blew them up. Again, Iranian influence. When they got into Israel, what did they do? They didn't just go out to kill Israelis. They literally attacked IDF outposts. Does that sound like something a ragtag three or four Hamas guys would have done 5 years ago? Attack an IDF outpost. They attacked the outpost and they jammed communications so that IDF outpost in that area couldn't communicate to other outposts. They jammed those communications. When they fired the rockets that first night, they for the first time ever, they fired in clusters. Instead of firing, you know, 50 rockets over an hour, they fired 50 rockets in 5 minutes, which overwhelmed the Iron Dome. Fucked it up.
Yep.
Do you think maybe the Iranians might have come up with that little strategy? Let me just point out one other thing here. Nobody hates the Jews more than the Iranians. You have never seen the hatred, the publicly communicated hatred of Jews and Israelis by any other Muslim or Arab nation than you have Iran. That's been going on for decades. So when you see what they've done to the Israelis, when you see the photos of 70-year-old men and women blasted to death at a bus station, when you see women raped, when you see children killed, when you see hostages taken, All of a sudden, we're looking at 150 to 100 hostages taken. You know, in the past 20, 30 years, you know, maybe there was one or two IDF soldiers kidnapped. This was a wholesale hostage taking. Finally, I'll just mention this. The attack happened on October 7th. On October 3rd, the supreme leader of Iran, our little friend Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, he said this: the definite position of the Islamic Republic is that countries that make the gamble of normalization with Israel will lose. They are betting on a losing horse. That was 4 days before the attack. And there's been lots of people that have said that Iran had a definite interest in this attack because they wanted to halt this normalization with Saudi Arabia that's kind of on the books right now. So my whole point for the call is this, is, you know, taking out Hamas needs to be done. But that's like putting a Band-Aid on a gaping wound in your belly. This reeks of Iran, and instead of Joe Biden and the Obama regime, you know, kissing up to these people, normalizing relations with them, sending them $16-30 billion worth of money, there should be serious talks on finally taking these people out. They are the cancer. They fund Hamas. Everybody's known that for 50 frickin' years. They fund Hamas. They fund Hezbollah. And I'm sitting here, and it's like, you know, we're supposed to just run to this, oh, let's just kill these Hamas guys. You know, we got to do that. We got to make Gaza City a frickin' flattened, playground. But bottom line is, if somebody doesn't come up with a plan to finally take Iran out of this picture, it's only going to get worse. And my point is, I looked at photos today of what they did to those Israeli citizens. And of course, I don't recall ever Hamas ever taking or killing another person that was not from Israel. And I'm sitting here, 11 Americans are dead. 11 Americans are dead, and there's more Americans as hostages.
Yeah.
What, Hamas just come up with that idea? Oh, let's see, who else hates America? Oh, maybe Iran. Aren't we the great Satan and Israel's the little Satan? So this just boggles my mind when we've got this administration with what I've seen so far is nobody stepping up and pointing a finger at Iran. Who from the Biden administration has brought the Iranian ambassador in and said, okay, explain to us what you've been up to? You know, it just boggles my mind how these guys get off scot-free when they are the ones planning this stuff, you know, bringing the world to World War III while they sit on their fat asses. My final point is this, is I don't know how old frickin' the Ayatollah is. He's got to be in his 80s. I don't know how old the mullahs are, but the mullahs are pretty damn old too. Isn't it about time for a regime change in Iran? I mean, I don't think you'd have to twist the arm of the Iranian people to concur that things need to change over there. That's all.
Good assessment. That's a good assessment. And let's add another thing to this whole equation. The one thing that we also do not see with regards to the terrorist organization of Hamas in any negotiations that are set to be taking place, and by the way, You texted or you sent out a message concerning Hamas after the strikes by Israel. It said, breaking, Reuters is reporting that a senior Hamas official is saying that the group is open to discussions now for a possible truce with Israel. There is one criteria that should be absolute with regards to a truce with the terrorist organization of Hamas seeking a truce, and that is for Hamas to scrap the Hamas charter. Now, when you have Hamas, a terrorist organization who calls for the annihilation and destruction of Israel, and that's part of their mission in their Hamas charter, and all throughout the Hamas charter, they say the Islamic Resistance Movement, the Islam is its system, the Islamic Resistance Movement, Allah is its God, the Messenger is its leader, the Quran is its constitution, jihad is its methodology, and death for the sake of Allah is the most coveted desire. If Hamas wants to be taken serious, and they are the government of Gaza, Hamas must scrap, which means they must destroy their charter if they want absolute peace. The fact is, they don't want absolute peace. The fact is, the OIC, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, has never mandated that Hamas scrap its charter. The United Nations has never mandated that Hamas scrap its charter. And yet, we're supposed to negotiate, or Israel is supposed to negotiate in good faith with a movement, with a terrorist organization who wants them dead, who wants to annihilate them. And I keep bringing up the OIC, Holzer, because the OIC continues to prove they're a fraud. And they continue to prove they're a fraud because they've adopted UN Resolution 1618. And it has to do with human rights. And here is the very first sentence. Combating intolerance, negative stereotyping, and stigmatization of, and discrimination, incitement to violence, and violence against persons based on religion or belief. Now, I don't know how much more violent can you get after watching what occurred Saturday in Israel. Pulling Israelis out of their homes and assassinating them on the street. Over 50 Islamic jihadists jump out of vehicles with automatic weapons, and they kill 290 to 300 Israelis who were at a peaceful Supernova concert. And we in the West are to believe what the Organization of Islamic Cooperation is demanding out of the Western nations, and they can't hold their own 57 Islamic states accountable for discrimination, for violence? And Hamas now, we're to believe Hamas wants to act in good faith, and they want to negotiate because they're getting their asses handed to them by the Israelis? You know what? Until Hamas scraps their charter and considers that charter to be, useless, okay, negated, I would basically level Hamas and then bring in a couple of real estate agents to develop, maybe bring in Donald Trump to develop Gaza. It's great Mediterranean land.
But I mean, think about what you just said. Yeah, they had this huge crowd of young people at this festival, right? You know, there's a reason why it was right next to Gaza, is because it was a two-state solution kind of celebration. These are hundreds of young people, you know, on the side of the Palestinians, you know, trying to further their cause for fairness and get rid of the horrible occupation of the Israelis. You know, that's why they were there. And what did the Palestinians do? They killed them all.
Yeah.
They killed them all.
What have we talked about the last 2 weeks that absolutely validates what Global Patriot Radio brought 15 years ago? Hamtramck, Michigan. Islamic Islamists, okay, who got in bed with the Democrat Party in America, okay, embraced all of the left wing anti-American movement, and then when they gained control of the Hamtramck City Council, and they now are 100% in control of the Hamtramck City Council. As soon as the LGBT community wanted to wave their flags and put them up, the Islamists said, oh, no, you can't do that. The very people that they've embraced for the last 15 years, the very people that they aligned with in order to incorporate their multicultural cancer, they've now shunned. They've absolutely turned on them 180 degrees. It's no different than what happened in Gaza, except it was more violent.
All right, boys. Thanks for letting me call in.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah. Hey, and great point with Saudi Arabia. I agree with that 100% because Iran, their biggest fear is an Israeli-Saudi Arabia working relationship because they will allow Israel free flying over their airspace to bomb Tehran, and that is their one and only threat right now that they see on the horizon. So.
Yep.
Yeah, I believe they orchestrated this whole thing to try and shake that impending Israel-Saudi Arabia cold peace alliance from happening. And they may have succeeded on the surface. It all depends on what's happening backdoor channel negotiations because Saudi Arabia needs Israel to bomb Tehran because they don't have the capability to do it. So maybe it'll backfire.
Well, I'm sure Biden will probably fix everything. So we don't have anything to worry about there. You know, we wouldn't want Donald Trump in charge. You know, Abraham Accords and all that kind of good stuff. We wouldn't want to continue that stabilization of the Middle East. Oh no.
Well, what's amazing is that baby has survived so far 2 years of Joe Biden trying to destroy it.
Yep.
That in itself is Nobel Peace Prize material, but he got overlooked.
Yeah. All right, guys. Good show.
All right. Well, this won't be over soon, and I think this is going to continue on until next week and the week after that.
All right.
Lou? Guy.
Yo.
How are you, my friend?
As I said to Vito a moment ago, there's no word in the English language to express how I feel right now.
Well, we hope you will find a few. Vito will be right here now. Vito, welcome back.
I'm back. Sorry about that.
Yes. Oh, no worries. We got Gotti here.
I see Blog Talk is running just as well as it always has.
I think this will be an operating error, in all fairness.
So how have you been, Gotti? What have you been up to? We haven't talked to you in quite some time, unfortunately.
I have... No, I guess I've been up to the same old, so nothing to discuss there.
Yep, okay, well, good. Well, welcome, and we wanted to get your take on the events going on as we speak in Israel.
And can I preface it this way as well? In March 28, 2021, the U.S. announces $15 million aid to the Palestinians. And 2 weeks ago, the Biden regime releases $6.5 billion to Iran in Iranian assets. through a unilateral negotiation, releasing in a prisoner swap. The United States gets the five prisoners. We release five prisoners, and the Biden regime unilaterally decides to release $6.5 billion. The communist Chinese are buying 1 million barrels a day from Iran in violation of the Iran agreement that was put in place by the Obama-Biden regime and that now was supposed to be enforced by the Biden-Harris-Obama regime. Go ahead.
Which he took down, yeah.
Yeah.
So the argument, and I'm sick of hearing the argument back and forth on radio and TV from all these pundits who don't know their ass from a hole in the ground about, you know, whether or not, oh, not one penny of that has been spent. No, that's true. Not one penny of the $6.5 billion has been spent. It's sitting in a bank account right now in Doha, Qatar. And anyone who has a checking and a savings account and a brain can understand, hey, if I know I'm getting a check, put in my checking for $6.5 billion, I can go and spend the money that I have in my savings that was allotted for something else because I've got money on the way. That's number one. But what we need to look at is a much bigger picture, Vito, and that bigger picture is $87 billion. Under the Trump administration, for 4 years, Iran made a total of $4 billion in oil sales because of the sanctions that the Trump administration had put into place. In the last 2 years, since Biden has taken office, Iran has made $87 billion with a B dollars because he removed those sanctions, not to mention the additional $75 million that he just signed over to them for supposed food and medicine. For, you know, human services.
Mm.
So, you know, forget that $6.5 billion. It's because of Biden that they're $87 billion richer.
Why isn't anybody talking about that? Again, the sanitizing of Joe Biden and his feckless foreign policy.
Well, just look at the people he surrounded himself with. You know, we could talk all night about how this is Biden's fault and how much of this falls back on Biden. We could talk about, you know, the whole world looking at the way we pulled out of Afghanistan because of Biden and how weak he is on the world stage. And this is why Russia went into Ukraine, and this is why China is taking advantage of it and probably going to go into Taiwan, and they've taken over the Taiwanese Straits. We, you know, we could have a whole geopolitical conversation on that alone, but there is no doubt that Iran, who is pulling the strings for its proxy Hamas, made the decision they made because Biden is weak. Israel's an ally of the U.S. The U.S. isn't going to do anything. Let's do it now.
So the individuals that are, I don't know, let's say part of the National Security Council, like Jake Sullivan, a Barack Hussein Satoru Obama alumni, like Samantha Power, a Barack Hussein Satoru Obama alumni, these decisions by these individuals have weakened America's foreign policy, but also have jeopardized the national security of, let's say, Iran.
Well, I don't know that they've weakened the national security of Iran. They've weakened the national security of the United States and thereby pretty much every ally of the United States.
Correctamundo. Agreed. 100%.
My concern here and now, as I'm sure you and the listeners' concern is not who's to blame for this. It's over. It's done with. We know who's at fault. Let's move on. Right now, we've got a much bigger problem. Right now, we've got Israel entering what is probably going to be, or will definitely be, the worst of all the wars they've had since 1948, 67, 56, 60, 73, 81 and 82 in Lebanon, this is going to be worse. And there is not a doubt in my mind. And Iran, if Iran gets involved, you will immediately see Syria, Iraq, and Lebanon join the fray. So this could very well ignite World War III. And I don't say that as hyperbole or as an exaggeration. What we are looking at right now in the Middle East may very well bring about World War III.
I have a question for you concerning Lebanon, and I haven't heard anybody speak about it, although I did hear somebody mention it today. The fact that Iran finances Hezbollah, and Hezbollah operates primarily out of Lebanon, what do you see happening, especially given rockets and missiles were being fired from Lebanon into Israel over the last 2 days?
So Lebanon right now, Hezbollah specifically, is testing the waters. They have well over 100,000 rockets and missiles, and I will clarify in a moment the difference between a rocket and a missile, but they have over 100,000 at last count, and probably much more than that, rockets and missiles already pointed towards Israel, many of which can reach all the way to Eilat from Lebanon. So you're talking the entire nation of Israel is under an umbrella that Hezbollah can reach. Now, what people need to understand is up till now, what Hamas has been utilizing shooting from Gaza into Israel are rockets. The difference between a rocket and a missile is a guidance system. It's not the distance. It's not the speed. A rocket is you shoot it and you pray to God, or in their case, Allahu Akbar, that it's going to come down in a civilian area. A missile has a guidance system. That's what Hezbollah has. So it is a whole different ballgame if Hezbollah gets involved.
Okay, so at what point, or let's go back to if Reuters is correct and the report is that Hamas leader wants to negotiate a peace agreement with Israel as a result of Israel taking out a lot of Gaza, does Iran stand for that peace agreement, and will they then look to Hezbollah to attack Israel from the north?
The only reason that the leader of Hamas would be screaming for a ceasefire right now is because he knows it'll never happen. He's going to be able to use that later and say, hey, look, I tried, just like they always do. Hey, we said, let's put our arms down. Let's take a breather. And he knows there is no way in hell, after what has been the bloodiest day for Jews since the Holocaust. I want everybody to understand that. There has never been one day in history since the Holocaust where so many Jews were killed at once. That's what we're talking about here. Put it into perspective. Depending on the numbers you've been reading, simple math will tell you that it would be the same as if the United States in one day had a terror attack where the United States lost between 25 and 40,000 citizens. That's the ratio. When you compare 8 million Israeli citizens to the numbers and the toll that has come out thus far, and it's going to rise more. It's rising as we speak. As if it were to happen here in the United States, where there's 350, 360 million, you're talking 25,000 to 40,000 Americans in one day dead. That's what they're dealing with. Does Hamas really believe that Israel's going to accept a ceasefire? They know darn well they're not going to accept a ceasefire. It's real easy to get up there and say that. He knows it's never going to happen.
What do you see happening in the next 24 to 48 hours by Netanyahu and the Israeli government with regards to their response to the attacks?
Israel would always prefer, as they have in the past, to not have to enter boots on the ground to Gaza. Israel has not done, and you mentioned a moment ago about how they've taken out so many Hamas sites via air. If you look at the number of airstrikes that Israel has done since Saturday when this started, it is nothing in comparison to the amount of airstrikes Israel has done in the past. Just go back and look at 2014. Look at 2021. Look at any of these operations from Operation Protective Edge on, and look at the number of airstrikes. Why is it that Israel hasn't done it yet? One simple reason. There's Israeli citizens, and they have no idea where they are. Israel has got to go in, and by the way, speaking on that note, Hamas claimed that one of the airstrikes that Israel did today killed 11 Americans, or not 11 Americans, pardon me, 11 people, among them Americans. So, you know, whether that be true or not, they probably, if anything, have executed many of them. But Israel has got to go in boots on the ground. Now, as far as the tunnels are concerned, Israel knows where the tunnels are, but, and I say this is a very big but, Israel knows where the tunnels are that are on the border with Israel and Gaza and Egypt and Gaza. They have no idea about all the tunnels that are underneath the main city of Gaza itself. They've made that clear. If anyone has watched the Israeli news, Israeli people have been on from the military that have made this statement. This is their biggest worry, because they believe that Hamas is holding many, if not all, of the hostages in these tunnels. Now, Israel does have a special unit that has been trained just for tunnel warfare. This is how bad it's gotten. They knew this was coming. And since the last time they went into tunnels and not only lost soldiers' lives, they actually lost some soldiers who went MIA, they've done a specialized unit. They've created a specialized unit that are nothing more than tunnel rats, for lack of a better term. And that is, according to the IDF, as much as 2 days ago. So, you know, they already know. They have their plan in place. They're going into Gaza. Whether that's going to happen tonight, tomorrow morning, or 5 days from now is anybody's guess. They will do it at their choosing. But the first thing they have to do is they still have to get rid of all the terrorists that are inside Israel. And don't believe the reports that are coming out that they've gotten rid of them all. Because if you watch the Israeli news, as recently as just a few hours ago, they found some more and there was a firefight going on. And even the general of the Home Front Command in Israel has stated that people should remain locked in their homes because they don't know where all the terrorists are. And the numbers that are coming out is that over 1,000 infiltrated Israel. They haven't captured 1,000 or killed 1,000. So this the first thing Israel has to do is clean up its own mess inside its borders, and then they can worry about going into Gaza. But right now, it's still a mop-up within. The last time I watched the Israeli news, which was a few hours ago, there were 7 different cities or villages, if you will, where they knew there were still firefights going on and they were still finding terrorists. So this is far from the beginning. of going in. They still have to clean up what's inside Israel.
Guy, I'm glad you brought this up because this is where I was going with the questioning. The Biden regime has announced that Biden is would send troops over to Israel. Should the U.S. stay out with their troops and allow Israel to conduct that boots on the ground and just stay in the background? Or should the United States have troops engage with the IDF and or Mossad?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Not only would it be bad for the American troops who have very little expertise or experience in fighting this type of fight, and I'm talking about close quarter combat, not since Ramallah and Fallujah. Let's not forget how many years ago that was. Those guys are, very few of them are still in, and those that are in are too old to do this. The new young guys that would be going over there from the U.S. military have never dealt with something like this. Not to mention the fact Israel does not want their help. Israel has never asked for help. Israel does not want their help. Go back and look at history. The only thing Israel's ever asked for is equipment. Keep your people safe. Keep them the hell out of our way and just give us what we need to get the job done. That should be the motto of Israel, of the IDF. They don't want boots on the ground. I did hear some congressmen and some senators saying, you know, the FBI hostage task force should be sent over and help them go into Gaza and bring back the Americans. No. Can you imagine what a cluster F that would be if you had... They don't even understand each other's weapons, let alone each other's training. The Israeli soldier is not trained the same way as the American soldier. And aside from the M4, they don't even use the same weapons. So, no, this would be a cluster mess. I don't want to see America get involved in that. The only reason Biden is putting the fleet out there in the Mediterranean is kind of to say to Hezbollah, don't do anything stupid. And that's about it. It's a show of force.
Yeah, you know, it's almost like Biden or the Biden regime announcing that they would send American soldiers over is almost like a smokescreen to say that, hey, look, we support Israel. Well, you know, just leave the Israelis be. Okay, the Israelis can
Everything that man has said since this started vis-a-vis Israel has been bullshit. You know it, I know it. He's Obama 2.0. He could care less about Israel. He could care less. The only thing he's looking for is we've got an election coming up and I want the Jewish vote. That's all this is for him. We all know it. He does this every time. I mean, let's not forget, according to Biden, not only was he Italian and Puerto Rican and black, but he also grew up in synagogues. You know, so you take what the man says with a grain of salt. The United States does not want to get involved in something like this, and this is nothing more than political posturing. That's all it is for the Biden administration.
Huh. Well, George Conway doesn't think that way. George Conway thinks that Eric Trump is lying when Eric Trump stated that Biden delivered $6 billion in funds to Iran.
Yeah, well, I don't know who George Conway is, but it sounds like Conway Twitty to me. I have no idea who you're talking about. Sounds like another stupid pundit on MSNBC. I have no clue who you're talking about.
Oh, well, that was cool. Okay, so you remember Kellyanne Conway, who worked for Donald Trump?
Oh, yes.
So her husband was with the Lincoln Project, who are anti-Trumpers, and they are basically supporters of Joe Biden. So they were trying to discredit Eric Trump, who actually delivered a fact that it was the Biden regime who released $6.5 billion. In Iranian assets, and you just confirmed it. It may be sitting in Doha, Qatar, but not only does Iran have $6.5 billion that they know will be for humanitarian aid. They've also been selling 1 million barrels a day to communist China.
Yep.
Hey, Gotti, got a question for you. At the beginning of your segment, you had mentioned that this could expand out to World War III. How do you see that? What would it take for that to play out, in your opinion?
If Iran were to get involved, plain and simple. If Iran gets involved, and I don't mean involved with its proxies, I mean if Iran, the Revolutionary Guard, the military of Iran, the government of Iran, if they attack Israel, or for that matter, I can see this happening as well, if Israel were to attack Iran, which I'm not going to get into, you know, what I think their plans may or may not be, but if Iran were to get involved in any way, shape, or form, that will be the start of World War III without a doubt. Because what you're going to have is you're going to have Syria, Iraq, and Lebanon join in the fray, and then it'll be the Muslims and their brethren, and this happens every time there's a war, and then you will have America getting involved. China will then look at this opportunity. Hey, America's involved elsewhere. They don't have the manpower or the equipment to deal with it. They're going to go into Taiwan. We already know what's going on with Russia and the Ukraine. We've got all these little tinderboxes. Let's not forget, who is Iran friends with? Russia. Who's friends with China? China, who's friends with Russia? And all three of them, who happen to be friends with North Korea? So, yeah, I think we would actually be looking at World War III if it were to come down to that. And what scares the living shit out of me, if I can use those words, is, you know, and forgive me, people, I know I'm Jewish, but if you were to ever read the New Testament, there's this thing called Revelations. Mm-hmm. And according to Revelations, the end, which will bring about the Messiah, will start and end in the Megiddo, which is in Israel. So
that's where Armageddon took place, for those who don't may not know. Sorry to interrupt.
You know, I can tell you that it's already been confirmed, and I only say this because this is not something that's classified. It's been talked about on the Israeli news. But I've personally spoken with people who confirmed it to me. People that were in southern Israel who are survivors of the onslaught that took place on Saturday, where they had these Hamas terrorists, and I'm saying Hamas in air quotes, Hamas terrorists in their home, and they were inside their safe room. And these so-called Hamas terrorists were trying to get them out of the safe room. They heard them speaking in Farsi.
Oh.
Let me explain for your audience what this means. Farsi is not a language that the Palestinians, so-called Palestinians, use. It's not a language that the Egyptians or the Jordans or even Hezbollah or Lebanon use. Farsi is used in one country and one country only. It's Persia. It's Iran. There have been numerous confirmations that those that came across the border into Israel were not trained only by the Revolutionary Guard, were not armed and financed only by the Revolutionary Guard, but that the Revolutionary Guard soldiers took part in this. So now do I need to connect the dots as to why Israel might do something to Iran?
That is unheard of news until today. That may be common knowledge in your circle, but in mine, that is pretty big.
The soldiers
that came in were extremely disciplined, Their team onslaught was choreographed, and they were well-trained. Hamas, they may have some trained groups, but I don't think they're at that level to be able
they're
to
not.
Be so disciplined.
They're not. And when all of a sudden did Hamas terrorists, or for that matter anybody in Gaza, have or learn to fly paragliders?
Mm-hmm. Well,
and here's
I've
another
done it. It's not very hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me give you an. It may not be very hard, but these people had done it before. If you watch the videos.
Yeah.
Let me give you another confirmation. Did you see in any of the videos the weapons that these so-called Hamas terrorists were carrying?
No.
Okay, so a lot of them had American M4s. Do you want to guess where they came from?
Oh,
Afghanistan.
Ooh.
Yep.
Oh, damn it.
Afghanistan. We left, thank you, Biden, again, $86 billion worth of armament and equipment in Afghanistan, and now it's showing up crossing the Gaza border into Israel. Thank you very much, Mr. Biden.
Hmm. Now, there may be some propaganda that also comes out where Russia is going to say that the weapons came from the Ukraine. And then that'll be to Russia's benefit, because that'll put a wedge between Ukraine and the United States going into Israel. That may be a side propaganda play that Russia might use or should
they
use.
They may very well, Al, they may very well say that, but there's one thing that the United States and Israel have that Russia can't deny. And that's the serial numbers off of all the weapons that were left behind. And Israel has already captured these weapons. And I guarantee you that people in our State Department and in our Department of Defense have already researched whether or not those weapons were from stockpiles in Afghanistan. So Russia can say whatever it wants.
A whole new layer, yep. So now we have 163 hostages, which you touched on a little bit. But if you got a minute, can we dig a little deeper into that? Because the hostages are going to play a very important role, because I believe they've even already started where Hamas said that they will execute one hostage per day. And right now they said they'll execute one hostage if Israel bombs a target without letting them know first. But Hamas will be able to use those hostages to great advantage. Now, how do you think the hostages will play out in the days ahead?
This is a problem that Israel is going to have to deal with. Unconfirmed reports, unconfirmed, because there's no way to confirm it unless you want to believe Hamas and Gaza. Unconfirmed reports are that they've already started executing hostages. Whether or not we can believe that, I don't know why Hamas would tell the world that they've done this if they haven't. I do know that the captured Israeli soldiers were beheaded, much like ISIS did. I do know that when they captured many of the Israeli soldiers, they put their uniforms on and then went back into areas where people were Israeli citizens. Saw people in Israeli uniforms, ran towards them, and they were massacred. These are things that were confirmed. This is what they've done. I have seen videos, Alan Vito, I have seen videos over the past 2 days that I wish I had never looked at them. They are seared into my brain for the rest of my life. Things, and I've seen some pretty bad things. I watched 7 kids die in a bombing that I survived when I was 14. I've seen some shit. I've never seen the word barbaric doesn't even begin to cover what these animals have done to women, children, and the elderly. And I'll just tell you, between Sebastian Gorka and Waleed Fares, and we've all been trading videos and photographs, and Sebastian and Waleed have got some really good sources. I'm not talking the ones that are blurred out. I'm talking actual videos and photographs that would make you not want to eat for a week. And it would make you want to kill anybody that you see happen to be wearing a keffiyeh. So, I mean, just barbaric.
Jeez. Oh, my God. So where is the United Nations, or the, or should I say the useless nations on all this? They've been pretty silent.
Yeah, you just said it, useless. You know, they had a Security Council meeting and they wouldn't come out and condemn Hamas. They wouldn't call them a terrorist organization. I mean, basically, they're right up there with AOC saying, hey, you know, we should probably have a ceasefire before this gets out of hand. Really?
Oh, oh.
So you'd be okay if I went into your frickin' house and took out your children and murdered them in front of you, raped your daughters in front of you, and then threw them in the street, dragged their bodies back to Gaza, and let people tear them limb from limb. You'd be okay with that, right? Because that's what's happening.
Oh. Allah is our God. The Quran is their constitution.
Now, I'll tell you something else. If you guys, and I'm sure you guys have already thought of this, and for all I know, you may have already discussed it. Just think about, no need to get into a conversation. And again, I'm not exaggerating. Just think about the fact that over 200 people on the terrorist watch list have been picked up at our southern border trying to get into the country. How many of them have made it through? How long before the United States has to deal with a situation like this? And if I had told you on September 10th, that's my rocket alarm going off. I don't know if you can hear it. Sorry.
Yep, it's okay.
If I had told you on September 10th, 2001, that Al-Qaeda or a terrorist organization was going to bring down the Twin Towers, you would have put me in a freaking rubber room.
Mm-hmm.
So when I tell you now that we have got activated sleeper cells in this country that are just waiting for their orders, believe it. Think about how many so-called gotaways there have been. And think about the number of people on the watch list that we've caught. It doesn't take a mathematician to realize that this country, once again, thank you, Joe Biden, is in for some real deep shit.
Gotti, how can it not be when you have, first of all, we've been distracted by with the open border and, of course, with the drug cartels now infiltrating America's borders, setting up bases inside of the United States.
Yep.
There have been for years, and I know for 15 years at least, at the border, the Border Patrol has found Qurans, they found prayer rugs, they found Islamic garb.
Yep.
We talk about the tri-border region, which seems to be forgotten about, but the tri-border region is an area down in, correct me if I'm wrong, Argentina, Paraguay, and Brazil that is set up by Iran to train terrorists who then come up through the Panama and up through America, through the borders, the America's southern border of Mexico, and they come into the United States. The father who killed his two daughters, Sarah Amin and her sister, fled into Mexico from Texas through a syndicate, which included his family, and was able to escape until he was recently caught this past year, the piece of garbage, after he executed his two daughters. But he made his way into Mexico pretty quickly and escaped authorities back, about 15 years ago. So
yep.
We're talking about 15 years that we know of Islamic jihadists coming up through America's southern borders. Matter of fact, you and I both remember in Garland, Texas, one of our friends was at the Garland, Texas, Dr. Muhammad, and was basically in the in the Texas center that was going to be blown up by two Islamic terrorists who traveled from Phoenix, Arizona. I believe that person was Al.
Yeah, I seem to remember Al being on a school bus, being transported out of there, and us talking to him on the radio.
Yeah, so nothing really has changed in at least 15 years, except now.
No, it's just gotten worse.
Thank you. Thank you.
This
wow.
is why I get so pissed off. All these people that have been contacting me, and I've been very, very blunt with them all. All these people that have been contacting me, I've had journalists contact me, not only from the United States, and I've done a lot of interviews up until this evening with you, but I've had journalists from the United Kingdom, from Australia, and yes, even from Israel, which kind of freaked me out. And I was like, seriously, you don't have people you can talk to there that are a little bit more in the know? But I've been contacted, and every one of them, I said, why is it I haven't heard from you since, I don't know. What was the name of that town in California? Oh, son of a gun. I'm forgetting that.
San Bernardino.
Why is it I haven't heard from you since San Bernardino or Orlando, Florida with the nightclub? Why is it that you guys only call and reach out to me when something like this is going on? Well, it's not news otherwise. I'm like, yeah, it is. You just don't focus on it. This is what gets me so freaking angry. Oh, Islam's not a problem. Look, they've been quiet all these years. Yeah, and what do I say at every freaking lecture? There's two things that terrorists aren't. One of them is stupid, and the other one is impatient. They're extremely patient. Don't take the silence and the calm for, they've gone away. Because if you do that, then you might as well just go shack up with Gaza, where the ceasefires are nothing more than a rearming.
Exactly. So the Israel now has cut off electricity. They've cut off food and water to Gaza. What would be the next phase for Israel to send a message to the Islamic terrorist group Hamas?
When they go in there and literally kill every single one of them?
Does Israel have the will to go down that road?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you why, Al. I've had this conversation with over the years with many people about how the current generation in Israel doesn't want to serve in the military. They've become very westernized. People don't understand why Israel has become so liberal in many ways. And a lot of these kids do whatever they have to do and can do and try all these things to stay out of their mandatory service in Israel. And I always explain it's because the people that are of age now at 18 to go into the military in Israel have never lived through a war. They don't know what it is. Whereas prior to that, my generation and those that came shortly after me all remember 67, 73, even 81 and 82 when they went into Lebanon. But now you've got Israelis, and I've been watching the videos of the Israeli soldiers getting on buses, going to the south, getting ready to invade Gaza, and the attitudes that they have. Imagine if someone entered the United States and killed 25,000 Americans, would you or would you not be screaming at your age to go join the fight? This is what they just saw.
9/11.
Well, I can see that at the ground level, but when they're taking orders from their superior officers who are taking orders from the flag grade officers who see optics because the Israelis, for their history, have not gone medieval because they're worried about the optics of the situation, how the world will view them, what the world will say, because the world will forget the barbarity, the locking children in cages, point-blank range murders and safe rooms of entire families. That will be all forgotten, in my opinion. But every child or every elderly person that our soldiers kill is going to be frontline news. And then they're going to parade out the dead hostages. Torture.
And they're going to do that anyway. And Israel knows
right.
They're going to do that anyway.
So you think the flag grade officers and who make Israeli policy are going to be able to get together to go medieval on these sons of bitches?
I don't know that from the top down whether or not Netanyahu is there. I don't know whether or not the defense minister is there. But I can tell you that your on-the-ground lieutenants and below are all 100% there. And let me tell you, the first time a lieutenant or a staff sergeant shoots someone in Gaza that may or may not have been shooting at them, that may or may not have been armed, the rest of the squad is going to see that, and yes, they're going to go, to use your term, medieval. Because
good.
Right now they're out for blood. They want to eradicate Hamas. And there's no way that you can eradicate an ideology, but there sure
right.
as hell is a way you can eradicate every member.
In your mouth to God's ears, my friend.
I've been saying this for years, Al. You know it. Vito knows it. Most of the people probably listening to this show remember me saying it. Every time I've been on I-24 News as their terrorism analyst, I've said it. Israel needs to quit this tit for tat. They shoot rockets, they retaliate. They shoot rockets, they retaliate. Then there's a ceasefire. Then they rearm. Then they shoot rockets, Israel retaliates. This was not rockets. This was a massacre. This is a country made up so that the Jews never had to go through this again. And if you don't think that the Israeli soldiers aren't thinking that, this is what pisses me off with these pundits on TV, comparing it to 9/11, comparing it to Pearl Harbor. It was neither of those things. Because Pearl Harbor, America knew who the enemy was, but they were thousands of miles away. On 9/11, America didn't know who the enemy was, but even still, they were thousands of miles away. These are Israel's neighbors. They have to live next door to this shit. And yes, I believe that the soldiers on the ground are going to say, F my orders and kill. As Golda Meir once said very famously back during the Yom Kippur War, F world opinion. And as you said, Al, from my mouth to God's ears, because there needs to be a cleansing.
Right, because Carolyn Glick made a good point. She said that Israeli policy since 2007 has been to have a cold peace with Hamas, with terrorist group on their sharing a border, and whatever that takes to make Israel livable and functioning with an acceptable amount of violence so they can coexist, not be friends, just coexist. But as of 48 hours ago, that experiment failed in dramatic fashion. So now it's
exactly.
a new day.
Exactly. And I think we're going to see with the words that are coming out of Netanyahu's mouth, and I don't believe that he... In my opinion, Netanyahu, when this is all over with, is probably going to be forced to resign, but that's a whole other conversation. I don't think he's doing this for political points. This is his country. This is a man who lost his brother in Entebbe and who himself was wounded when serving with the Sayeret Matkal. So this is not just some words to appease the Israelis. He has stated to his own countrymen, to his soldiers, eradicate the enemy. He has stated to Hamas publicly, including today in English, that Hamas is going to wish that they had never done this because what they're in for, they have never experienced. I really honestly believe, and believe me, the more soldiers that are killed in Gaza, the worse it's going to be for Gaza. So, yeah, I have no doubt. I really have no doubt. They have done, and I hate to use the terminology, cross the line, but yes, Carolyn Glick was, she's right. Up until 2 days ago, yeah, okay, they fired off some rockets. Yeah, okay, they damaged some buildings. They landed in a field. Iron Dome got it. A few cars got damaged. Thank God nobody got hurt, and we'll put up with it. They crossed the effing line. Can you tell I'm upset?
No, they couldn't tell. Concerning the hostages, okay, this is not anything that we are, I'm privy to, but I'm going to, I'd like your opinion quickly on this. We got about 7 minutes left. I don't put it by Hamas for executing the prisoners. And do you think that Hamas will release any of the prisoners? I know that they are useful pawns, and the West believes that Hamas will release the prisoners because they somehow they believe there's some humane issues that there's something humane about the Islamic terrorists that they don't want to believe. But I don't believe for a second that Hamas has or has not executed many of the hostages already. And you know what? I think Israelis will sacrifice themselves for their country. I don't know how to properly state it, but
I understand what you're saying, and I don't disagree. Most of the Israelis that I've seen being interviewed recently on Israeli TV that are fathers and brothers and sisters and moms and sons and daughters of those that were taken and captured and taken into Gaza as hostages, none of them came out and said that, not word for word, but they've made it clear in their own way of saying it, they're probably going to die. And not that, you know, that could be the way they're accepting the loss already or dealing with their grief. Most of them are extremely angry at the government, but that's a whole other story as to what's going on with there. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, Jews don't, we don't have martyrs. We don't pull that crap.
Yeah.
And we will send in an entire unit to bring back one body. But when we send in an entire unit to bring back one body, what are we doing? We know that sending in that unit, we could lose more. So, you know, this is the mindset. And I think given the circumstances and the atrocities that they've done, and I agree with you 100%. I don't think Hamas is going to release any of these hostages. They are still holding bodies of Israeli servicemen hostage from years ago. Look how long Gilad Shalit sat there.
Yeah.
So I saw a video today which literally brought me to tears, among many of the videos I've seen which did that, of children that were captured by Hamas. And just tell me if you've seen this video yet. If you haven't, after the show, I can send it to you, because at least thank God it's not graphic. They are holding these children who are probably infants, you know, less than a year old, up to 3 years old, and they are in cages. And it looks like they're in a veterinarian facility. It looks like something you would find at a rescue pound. They are in cages filming these children, pushing their little faces against the bars, not understanding what's going on, laughing at them, and talking to them in Arabic. That's the humane part. That's the humanity that Hamas has. So I don't see them giving these hostages up, no.
Okay. They're too valuable. One hostage is worth 1,000 of their own. They're not going to...
Yeah, that's a whole other story, but we've already seen that in the past, too. You're right.
Well, Gotti, thank you very much for coming on at short notice. We really appreciate that. And if you would, please keep us posted if you learn anything new that comes about. We'll be talking to you again, and let's hope this whole ordeal is over within the next, 7 days. But we don't, as Al said, just don't see an end to this at any time soon.
No, it's going to be, I'll tell you right now, and this is according to people in the IDF that have been asked about it. They believe this will be at least for the next 6 months once they go in.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, 2 million people.
I can see that. I'm sorry?
25 miles, 2 million people. That's a lot to clean out without a heavy pre-bombardment.
It's 42 square miles of territory with over 2 million people in it. I will ask just for one quick second here. Everybody listening to the show, I don't care what faith you are. I don't care even if you're agnostic. I don't care if you're atheist. Do me a favor and pray for the people of Israel, and especially for all the men and women soldiers who will be putting their life on the line in the next few days, weeks, months. Please, I'm begging you for prayers. And believe me, when it comes to prayers, I don't care what religion you are. Say a prayer, and that's all I got.
And that's the perfect way to end our show. Gotti, thank you. Thank you, Bigfoot, Ducky, Hank, iGuy. Thank you, Sue. Thank you, Sue, for posting shows on Twitter, X. And we agree with you 100%. Our prayers are with Israel and the Israeli people.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gotti.
Thank you, Gotti. Great segment.
Al, we'll talk to you. We'll end the show here, and God bless Israel, and God bless the United States of America. Ciao for now, folks.
Adios, amigos.
I did all that, and may I say, not in a shy way, oh no, not me, I did it my way, for what is a man, what has he got? If not himself, then he has not to say the thing he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows.
Well, I didn't anticipate Gotti staying on for more than 30 minutes, but thank him so much for, I'll thank him. That was just, wow, that was very chilling. I had goosebumps with some of what he was talking about.
Well, yeah, a lot of the information that he was talking about is not, it's out there, but you got to know where to find it. And I learned a lot. There's a lot of things that he talked about that I didn't know as far as how this is going to play out. And he firmly believes that the Israelis have the will to go medieval on these people, their neighbors. Because I was talking with a friend who fought in the 67 war and the 73 war. And he was an officer, colonel, And he was trying to tell me that Israel needs to find a new way to interact with the Palestinians and find a common ground with that type of language. And I told him I think that ship sailed, but he didn't like me second-guessing him. So he's the exact opposite of Gotti. So I hope Gotti's point of view and what he knows prevails, because he seems to have his thumb on the psychology of the troops from what he's hearing on the ground, because that's where it's going to take place.
I'll tell you, I have to, and for me, I'm going to say that I'm going to agree with Gotti that they do have the will, because of I was talking to a friend of mine from Israel last week, and we were just talking about, and anyways, there's a relative, and they know some young people that are in the IDF, and they, and this is before the attack. And I believe that they have these young men and women who are in the military have some sense of devotion to Israel. And I do believe they are well prepared. And I really do believe that they will, they have the resolve, Al. I have to agree with them on that one. Just from, even before this all took place, and speaking to my friend who's got relatives, and they have really, I mean, they are passionate, and I was like, wow. I mean, so, and then this happens, and I did text him to see if he was okay and his family and relatives, and all he answered back was, yes, everybody's fine. Thank you. You know, thank you for the blessings. And that he didn't even go into it. It's like, whoa. I don't, for some reason, I got nervous.
Yeah.
Wow.
My cousins, I live right outside of Tel Aviv, right on the border with the West Bank. And they were ordered for the last 48 hours to stay indoors, lock the door. Their kids live down south of Israel, south of them, and called them this morning, I guess about 6, so it was around lunchtime there, and the kids and the grandkids have come up north to Grandma and Grandpa's house.
Really?
And she didn't want to talk either. Very interesting.
Yeah, it's almost like they can't talk.
Abrupt. Grandkids are here. Yeah, so.
Wow.
I said, okay,
wow.
Understood.
This is, and you and I hadn't talked about this, so just the fact that you both of us felt the abrupt, you know, ending to conversations, just kind of weird, huh?
Yeah, I was a little taken back, but I didn't take it any way, shape, or form personally. It was just unusual behavior, and that was a little bit concerning. I just didn't know quite how to process it. But hearing the same story that you had, is that on the ground there, there's a million things, and talking to somebody is not high up on the priority list right now. It's very chilling.
Yeah, you know, and another thing that, and we didn't get to it, but you don't hear on TV, it's, you know, all these pundits, they all talk about, you know, Hamas and Gaza and the West Bank, and you know, you've got the pro-Palestinians talking about, and they disparage Israel every way, shape, or form. And Israel actually gives money to the Gazans and the West Bank because of the Palestinians working in Israel. So they give them upwards to $2 billion. Where is that money going to? It's not Israel who keeps their people downtrodden, keeps the Palestinians downtrodden. It's the terrorist organization Hamas and the PLO government. And yet the government officials of both entities live pretty lavish lives, drive expensive cars, and they have, you know, houses and condos on the Mediterranean Sea while they keep their people in squalor. And they're buying weapons, you know, from Iran and from other terrorist organizations. So where does the $2 billion from Israel go? Where are the billions that the United States is giving and any other countries? And, you know, it's not the Israelis who are keeping the Palestinians downtrodden.
Yeah, and every Palestinian supporter that I've heard on the news or radio, they explain Gaza as being the largest open-air prison in the world. And I challenge anybody and everybody just to Google in Gaza mansions, and then you'll see this open-air prison. And it is not that. They have miles of the most beautiful Mediterranean beaches anywhere. So Gaza could be something very much different. It could be a tourist destination spot if they so choose that. But they would rather kill Israelis. And then you've got the pro-Hamas rallies here in the United States. And instead of looking at them as a rally, look at them as a show of force. Because when you have 1,000 people marching in the streets without a permit, carrying Palestinian flags, imagine that each one of those people represent 10 that weren't there. And that would be about, and that's probably on the low end, but these people hate America. They hate Israel for sure. And we are the infidel. We are the enemy. Have been, will be. That will never change. Push comes to shove. They will choose sides, and it won't be our side. So this is an enemy within our gates. And God even touched on it with all of these Muslims coming over from Africa, coming in through the southern border. In fact, it was reported that there was a whole slew of Syrians that are now coming over, not to mention the Chinese. And these are men of all fighting ages that President Biden's policy, he's just bringing them in. They're processing them and then distributing them around the country. And like Gotti said, they are patient. They'll wait 6 months, a year, 2 years, whatever it takes until the time is right. And then they will attack. How they'll attack, we don't know. But it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So, I mean, we used to think that, I mean, for the last 2 years it has been, well, the Marxists have now upended the followers of Islam as enemy number one. Well, with this, the Jihadis are temporarily back up on top and or on parity with the Marxists because they're working together. And hopefully that concert was a wake-up call for all these Marxists that they have a target on their back. Just like we do. They don't care that you support them and that you rally for them. Now they killed 260 was the last count that I saw. Unarmed people. That's just execution style.
You know, I can't help but go back to 2015 when Islamic terrorists killed 90 concert goers at the Bataclan in Paris, France, and they wounded over 200. And you think it would be a wake-up call. You would have thought it would have been a wake-up call. But I guess because it didn't happen in Israel or it didn't happen in the United States, we've been removed from that. And what was it total? 130 people, innocent people, were killed by Islamic jihadists who fled back to Belgium. And then the Islamic jihadists were hid in Belgium, okay, by their fellow jihadists, and they the authorities had to go into Belgium and into the community in order to find these roaches. And now we fast forward 8 years later, the same exact thing happens, except on a more vicious scale, and the atrocities that were committed, you know, by these Islamic terrorists, which many were, I think you guys are absolutely right with regards to Iran. It was too well performed of an action where those vehicles drove in and there was 50 to 75 Islamic jihadists jumped out of the vehicles with automatic weapons and killed the 290 people. It just, so, you know, 2015 concert goers, 90, boom. Now we've got 290. And like you said, just in the last year, the Biden-Harris regime has propped up these supporters to go against the Israeli government. And they naively camped out at the border holding a concert, and they paid the ultimate price. Are you not getting this? I mean, seriously, are you not getting, you know, how you're a useful idiot and you're being used? And look at the end result. 290 people dead in this concert, slaughtered like freaking dogs. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, and when you hear stories on the media, you just think, oh, they were concert goers, but they never talked about their politics and what the hell they were doing in the middle of the desert right next to the Gaza border. This is a freedom concert. Freedom for who? Freedom for the Hamas and the Palestinians over the evil colonialist Israelis. That should be the story that is on the news. But it's the same, you know, you want it here in America. When Omar Mateen shot up the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, Florida.
Oh. Yeah,
never once the media totally whitewashed that as a crime against the LGBT gay community. And that had nothing to do with it, and it came out in the trial, but it didn't matter. The truth didn't matter.
Well, it's the sanitizing of an antithetical, you know, movement, and that's Islam, an Islamic movement. Allah is their God.
Yeah.
Muhammad is their prophet. The Quran is their constitution. And
the Muslim Brotherhood motto. Very good.
Not to mention, what is the motto of the two Palestinians who are running the Council on American Islamic Rights Relations? CARE. Omar Ahmad. Islam is not in America to be equal, but to become dominant. The Quran. The Muslim book of scripture should be the highest authority in America, and Islam the only accepted religion on earth. So if you're supplanting the U.S. Constitution with the Quran, it's an act of treason, sedition, and you should be basically either incarcerated or removed from the United States of America.
Treason and sedition. Absolutely 100% true. You know, I'm not advocating for a form of government other than our own. I can't remember the last time anybody's been tried for treason and sedition, but I think it needs to start.
Yeah.
And the people that are leading these Hamas rallies are treason and seditionists by the thousands.
Including the two in Congress.
Right. In fact, I believe... Who was it? Tlaib called for a ceasefire.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's a congressperson. She makes policy, and she still hates America.
Oh, she's sporting the Palestinian flag right outside our house office. That's disgusting.
Yeah. Something's got to change.
Right. Yes, it does.
There's no ray of sunshine right now. This is, like Gotti said, this could spark World War III. Forget about Zelensky and the Ukraine. That's in play as well, but this is a spark at a gasoline station. nation.
It is, and you know what? And the other thing, you probably have read it, but I'm going to put it out there since we're still recording. The Gatestone Institute, I would suggest that people go to the Gatestone Institute and read. There's two articles, one from today from Bassam Tawi, Palestinians' War on Israel and U.S. Senators' Delusional Two-State Solution, which we didn't get to. And he's absolutely correct. There is no two-state solution. And if you do not scrap the Hamas Charter, you will never, ever, ever have a good faith negotiation. And the story right below that, the Ayatollah's plan for Israel and Palestine, and just read every bullet point and then read the article. And I believe Holger brought up about the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei and his comments. And we're not talking about comments that were made, you know, back in 1979 or 1981. We're talking about comments that were made, like, recently. So, you know, October 2nd, October 3rd. So, you know, there's the Gatestone Institute has their finger on the pulse as well. And they would be a good resource to read and to keep up with what's going on in Israel and with regards to Iran. You know, which I do believe that John Kerry should be in Gitmo, by the way.
Yep. Hey, and Gotti's saying that some of these ground operatives under the Hamas flag were speaking Farsi.
Yeah.
That was news.
Whoa.
That was news I had not heard anywhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. That definitely. That's really, really troubling. Wow. All right, Al. Hey, if you hear anything, give me a shout back. And the same here. I'll try to keep
right
in contact with Gotti, too. Okay?
Okay. Yeah, tell him thank you and excellent interview.
Okay. All right. Have a good evening. Sue, you take care of yourself, and thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
All right, folks. Have a good evening, and as Gotti said, our thoughts and prayers are with the state of Israel. Good night, folks. I'm going to end it right
here. Assalamu alaikum, my brothers. Lick of my salami.